Abby Hollander Band has a brand new album out entitled Letters. We're going to talk to Abby at length about the album, some new members of the band. We'll get right to talking to Abby Hollander. Great album. So happy to hear Abby back on the recording track again. You're going to enjoy it. Please stick around. Abby Hollander has a lot to say about the members of the band and how they progressed. I last saw them, I think, in 2015, but we'll get into that later. For the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard Still Got It Bad, which is a song off of a brand new album from the Abby Hollander Band. The name of the album is Letters, and I have on the phone today for the audience Abby Hollander. How are you, Abby?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being available. I know you from past events at Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival. I think that we've both recognized that you must have given me an album, because I have one other in my possession. That's a 2014 Abby Hollander Band album. And I bet that I probably got that from you up at Grey Fox, because it's about the time that you had a really nice performance up there, I think 2015 or whatever. But anyway, I'm not unfamiliar with your music.
Thanks. Yeah, I think that was 2015 that I was there playing at Grey Fox, and I think the album came out earlier that year, technically 2015, maybe the end of 2014, but yeah, I'm sure I gave it to you there. I remember that.
Yeah. Listen, I'm really happy with this new album, Letters, that you sent.
Thank you.
The song that we played, Still Got It Bad, I want to talk about that a little bit, and then I want to talk about the band members, and then we'll just kind of move around some of the songs and get a flavor of what's going on. So for the audience, they just heard the third cut. There's 11 cuts on the album. Tell us a little bit about Still Got It Bad, what the tone is, and then let's talk a little some about the musicians, and that'll get us into another area of discussion.
Sure. Still Got It Bad is a song by John Harrells, who might be a familiar name to some old bluegrass fans, or longtime bluegrass fans, I'll say. He was in the Greenbrier Boys out of New York in, I think, the 60s, and he was just a fantastic songwriter, really distinctive, unique singer, and a good friend of my family's. Later in his life, he lived in Woodstock, New York, where I'm from. And Still Got It Bad is a song that I heard from him being younger, and kind of, you know, he would come over on holidays and we'd sit around and play while food was cooking on Thanksgiving, that sort of thing. And it's a song that I've just been singing for probably 25 years or something like that, 20 years. And I always wanted to record it and never kind of found the right combination of musicians with just the special feel that I wanted to bring it to life until now.
Well, what was the feel? Tell them a little bit. They just heard it, but let's get into that, the feeling part, then we'll talk about the musicians. But I always, I'm always curious what an artist thinks as they're performing a song for recording.
Sure. Well, I guess it leads into the musicians, because that's a big part of it. You know, the mandolin player, Jacob Tylove, and the guitar player, Jason Borisov, when the three of us sing together, I just, it feels like just kind of magical to me, and super, it's an emotive kind of singing.
Yeah, well, that's a good description. That's a good word. I would have, yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of people that you can sing with where it sounds beautiful and it locks in, and then there are people where I think it sounds beautiful and it locks in, and there's this just extra quality. And they both really have a fondness for John Harrell's music also, which I think brings something special to it, that they were into his music and appreciated it on their own, and then getting to do it together really kind of just clicked.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful song. We've mentioned some of the band members. I want to get back into those, but I want to first start. Let's back up a little bit to the first cut on the album, Marianne. I understand there's it's a very touching story behind that. The lyrics, which the audience may hear it in another part of the show, is really the singer singing about Marianne and basically someone's looking for Marianne. There's a story behind that.
There is. Marianne is written by my brother, Jonah Bruno. He's a banjo player from Brooklyn. And he wrote the song about our late aunt, Marianne, after she died. And I always wanted to write one, too. And after I heard his, I was like, I don't need to anymore, because this is it. This is perfect.
Yeah, there's a line in there about, you're making a telephone call and nobody answers, of course. But it's a beautiful song. It has a great sentiment. About someone that's lost, and that you're trying to find, and it's just I really enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite cuts. As I tell artists often, as I listen to albums over and over and over, my favorite cut will bounce around, and which I think I think that's great for the artist, because it means that there's a lot of songs, there's a lot of great quality to pick from, and I happen to get fixated on that one the other day. I don't know what it was, but it moves around. It's a beautiful song. I want you to talk a little bit about your banjo player. That's going to get us into the opening of the eighth cut on the album, which is Eyes of Loss.
Sure. The banjo player is Ellery Marshall. He's a great player, a great friend. He was one of the first people I started playing with when I moved to New York, and he's actually the only original member of the band that is still in the band with me. He was the banjo player on the first album as well. And he's a great player to work with, and he's one of these banjo players that really understands how to support a singer and support a song, too, which is a beautiful quality.
Well, and that's the great part of it. The whole song is good, but I love the opening because it's just you and the banjo of Eyes of Loss. It's a beautiful, to me, that's the essence of the musicianship, supporting the artist and the vocalist, that combination, whether it's a banjo or not. I happen to be partial to banjos, but I love it when somebody does that so well. It just becomes, the two become one, and then the song opens up into that. But that's a favorite one also, because I just think it's gorgeous singing, of course, and I think it's gorgeous banjo player, then that opening, and then the song develops from there. Yeah, it's great. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Abby Hollander. Her new album is entitled Letters. We're going to get to the title of that in just a second and where that came from. But I want you to, as we talked about Mary Ann, this really gorgeous song of asking where someone is. The second, your aunt, actually, the second tune is Too Down to Get Drunk, which is not exactly looking for a human being so much as it is sobriety.
That's true.
Where did that song come from?
I co-wrote this song with Jason Borisoff, who is the guitar player that I mentioned on this album. And I think I just remember some conversation that we had where I was like, let's go get a drink. And I don't think he actually said too down to get drunk. I think he said, like, I'm too tired to go get drunk, or too lazy to go get drunk, or something like that. And we just thought it was really funny, and then it kind of like bounced around, and we co-wrote it. Actually, we were never in the same room when we co-wrote it. I would write a little bit and then kind of, you know, use my phone to record it and send it over to him and back and forth.
Okay, here's a question I always have of an artist, especially in this time when things were kind of in lockdown, and I know that it certainly has affected the ability of an artist to perform. But as you're recording this album, Letters, how does the recording process go? Were you able to get together? Did you do a lot of recording in different studios? How did this work out for you?
Well, thankfully, because of the pandemic complications that ensued later on, we actually started recording this album, I think, in 2018.
Oh, okay.
So, and then we just sort of took our time with it. We did all the instruments in one day, or 2 days, I guess. We had a session in Brooklyn at a studio called Seaside Lounge, which is a really cool studio. And my husband actually was the engineer, and he also mixed and did a lot of the work on the record, so that's pretty cool.
Good.
Yeah, so we did all the instruments there, and then took us a while to kind of get around to doing some of the vocals. We did some of those vocals in our apartment in Queens, and then some of the vocals we did together, some of them we did separately, and then we did a little bit more work at the studio that Jason owns also in Brooklyn called Conveyor.
Okay. You've mentioned several times cities in the Northeast of America, and I always have this question about musicians, and that's probably why I saw you at Grey Fox, because we were in upstate New York. It probably wasn't much of a haul for you to get there. But there's so many great old-time and bluegrass and acoustic musicians in that New England Northeast area, and I always ask everyone who's on the program from there if they have an idea why that's occurred.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of different answers that could be given
question. I just want your perspective, because I think I know, but I don't really know.
Well, I think a couple factors. One is proximity to New York City, which is always just a hub for artistic innovation, you know, of all sorts. So people go there to make music and to play music, and because there's a lot of gigs, you know, living in a big city, there's just always more work for musicians than if you're in a small town, unless you're touring. And then people get to New York City, and they also get tired of New York City, and they want to leave. And then they come upstate to the Hudson Valley, to Woodstock, where I'm from, and this whole region. And I think it is a similar, you know, it's the Northeast, but once you get out of New York City, it's really rural.
That's right.
Like a, you know, a beautiful kind of countryside. And that, I think, does tap into a lot of the feel of this kind of music, too.
It really is. Right? Maybe you've hit upon it. And Woodstock, as you mentioned earlier, I don't know that if Woodstock was the beginning of this vortex that I mentioned as this Northeast music sound, or if it just was a place where it happened to happen. I don't mean the historical part of finding a place to do it, but I think that part of the country. Because when I go to Grey Fox, to be honest with you, I feel like I'm in this different area, and that I'm tapping into this great musical heritage that I think, you know, half an hour away could be Woodstock. I could be over there. I get that same vibe. I was not at Woodstock during the festival at all. I was too young for that, but I get this really neat appreciation from the audience and from the musicians of the acoustic music, and I think the version, the type that is very unique to the Northeast and upstate New York and that whole area. I can't put my finger on it, so I'm not asking for a specific answer. I'm just looking for more information to inform myself with as I try to figure it out. But I think you've done a good way of helping me with that.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, sure. Listen, one of the members of your band, there's a song on this album that the audience has heard before years ago on Unreal Bluegrass, and the tune is Appalachia Appalosia. Now I have it. Now twice. I have it from the Abby Hollander Band from the Letters album, and I also have it from the Lonesome Trio, and you can explain why that occurs, and it's a great song, and I'm glad that you chose to record it again, but there's a connection directly between the Lonesome Trio and the Abby Hollander Band.
Absolutely, yeah, we share a member. Jacob Tylove, our mandolin player, and he also sings a couple tracks on the album, and he wrote Appalachia Appalosia. He was one of the Lonesome Trio. So that album that they put out a few years ago, which is a really, really fun album with some lovely and kind of, you know, sneakily, like, very beautiful songs on there. Appalachia Appalosia was on there, and we would always kind of just play it for fun with Jake, and then, you know, when we were getting ready to record the album, I was like, oh, man, like, I want more Jake on this album. Would you do Appalachia Appalosia again? And he actually got into it and agreed to it, and I feel really glad.
The vocals are really nice. I think it's his voice, I think, in both versions. But I think in the latter third of your version, it takes a different twist. And I really like the way vocally that you put this in. I'm happy to hear it again redone. And I think you guys do a real nice job of putting it together. I think we have to agree that the title cut for the album named Letters has to be Letters to Burn, which is the 11th cut on the album. I think I'm accurate. Yeah, so why don't you do a little lead into that? I'll play that for the audience, and I'll come back and I have a little more to talk to you. So talk a little about Letters to Burn, which has some great lyrics. You know, this person has letters to write that they didn't send, and they have letters to burn. So that's kind of where we get into the title.
Absolutely. Letters to Burn is written by Jason Borisoff, the guitar player in the band, and also singer member of the band. And he wrote this beautiful song, and he played it for me a couple years ago, and he was just playing it to show it to me, just because he had written it, and was like, here's this new song I wrote, what do you think? And I fell so in love with it that I asked him if I could do it, because I just felt the connection to the melody. The melody is so beautiful, and the lyrics are just really kind of simple, but super heartfelt and to the point.
It's about communications that weren't made. It could be through a letter, but I take it as communications that weren't made, or maybe some that were best unsaid. I really think it's a gorgeous song, and I really like it on the album. And I love the sound of the band. I enjoyed your band when you had it at Grey Fox. I played cuts from the album that you must have given me then, or how else would I have it? So, for the listeners, you and I'll take a break for a second. I'm going to play Letters to Burn from the new album, Letters. I'm talking to Abby Hollander. It's the Abby Hollander Band. We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Abby. There you heard, Letters to Burn. Ostensibly the title cut from the album, Letters. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful song. I like the way you have all of these. There are male vocals. There are male lead vocals. Of course, Appalachia. We talked about that. But it was a male lead vocal. On Turn to Go, you also have a strong male lead. So you have everybody contributing vocally. You are able, as a band leader, to select those people that are going to perform, I think that's part of the process, and then back them up vocally and what. But on Turn to Go, for example, that's kind of a fun song. But who's singing that one? It's one of the male members of the band.
Yeah, that's Jason. That's the guitar player, Jason, again. And that's another one that he wrote. He did a lot of writing on this album, actually. And I think he does a great job with it. I really like, you know, the fact that Jason and Jake and I, we all have really different sounds and kind of different vibes. But mm-hmm. I think that we all really blend together, too, in just a fun way. And I love backing people up vocally, honestly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love singing lead, and I love singing songs that I choose and get into, but I have such a good time just being a support singer, too.
Well, the whole band contributes to this sound. And Turn to Go, as I said, and I have a smiley face written in my notes because it just kind of makes me smile about the song that it's, you know, it's almost, well, whatever. I mean, they can listen to it, but it's Turn to Go, kind of like you're leaving a scene, you're leaving a venue or whatever, and you have these other ideas, and the singer is talking about, you know, we're going, it's time to go, or time to go, or turn to go. In my mind is the way it comes out. It may not mean that, but in my mind it's, okay, let's go to the next, whatever part of life is coming down the road.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's one of the songs, I have another star with another lead vocal is Too Late to Die Young. I want to mention that a little bit. I want to get to one other song, and then I want to let you get back to your life. We're going to finish the discussion with another song, but talk a little bit about it's kind of an upbeat tune, up-tempo on Too Late to Die Young.
Too Late to Die Young is also a Jason song, and that's Jason singing again. And that song, I feel like, was just so he played it for us, and we were, I think Jake and I think we were all together when he played it for us. And it was, like, so fun. We felt like it almost had an anthemic vibe to it, the chorus. It's, like, just it was one of those things you want to just, like, turn up and sing along to is how I felt being in the band with it. It's, like, you just, it just kind of riles you up in this super fun way.
Huh.
And Jason wrote it, and he wrote all these lyrics, and, you know, he would kind of send lyrics over, and I would, you know, give him some feedback or some ideas, and he was kind of trying to write like little characters almost based on people we knew sometimes, but just little little vignettes throughout it, and I thought that was a really cool approach.
As I've mentioned before, I'm talking to Abby Hollander. If you're just tuning in, we're kind of going over as much as we the album Letters, which just came out. And I want to make sure that we give the listeners an opportunity to find that album and let them know where they can find Letters by the Abby Hollander Band.
Yes, absolutely. Letters is available pretty much everywhere you listen to music. It's on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, YouTube, but it's also on Bandcamp, which is a really wonderful platform for artists because it you know, allows artists to get a greater revenue.
You get paid. Right? You get paid. Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you...
Everywhere.
Okay, good. And if I'm assuming you have a page somewhere, if someone wanted to just go look at Abby Hollander, how would they do that?
Sure, there's abbyhollanderband.com. And then I think it's bandcamp.com/abbyhollanderband.
Okay. And
Facebook, Instagram,
yeah,
all that.
And it's ABBY.
ABBY,
yeah. Yeah, okay. Here we are in the early part of spring in 2021. You have this album now that's been released. What do you feel as a band leader, when is the future going to develop to where the Abby Hollander Band will get out and perform live in front of venues, in front of either limited audiences or something, but it must be something you're looking forward to. Do you have any thoughts about when that'll happen?
I do, actually. We are, tentatively booked to play a show in early July at the newly renovated Burrsville Theater in Woodstock. And I only say tentative because of, you know, COVID-era permit requirements.
Right.
But we're really looking forward to that, and you can find info about that, you know, just stay tuned by checking our Facebook or our website.
Okay.
And as soon as it is, you know, officially confirmed, we'll post it there. But that should be a really exciting event outdoors, so, you know, safe as can be these days.
Well, you've pretty much got to go by what the jurisdiction is going to allow you to do.
Exactly.
You know, they have the ultimate. You may want to be out. I think that's probably what the listeners now know, that Great Fox has been canceled again for this year.
Unfortunately,
and,
yeah.
And I'm sure it has to do with licensing and permits. I mean,
yes.
You know, the interest is there, but then again, you don't want to go. There's so many people that show up there that how do you control it? So I think until they can feel comfortable with, and like you're mentioning, the venues are going to have to feel comfortable with what's going on, and the licensing people are going to have to say, okay, you can have a permit. Hopefully that will happen soon. We'll get ahead of it, and people will be able to see the Heavy Hollander Band live. It would be a great show.
I certainly hope so. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, I want to let you get back to your life. I want to come back around to one more song from the album. Again, there's 11 tunes. I want you to lead into This Life. And then I'm going to let you talk about that. Then we'll play that for the listeners of Unreal Bluegrass.
Sure thing. This Life is a song that I wrote. And when I wrote it, I wanted to write, you know, a bluegrass tune, but I also kind of wanted to challenge myself a little bit more vocally. So I sort of had that in mind when I was writing the chorus melody, at least. I just wanted to, I don't know, I wanted to just try something a little bit different. And then adding the harmonies in, we really had fun with that. Jake and Jason came up with these super cool harmony parts that, you know, when we slowed it down to practice it, we're like, this is kind of barbershop-y, what's going on here?
Not that there's anything wrong with barbershop. Barbershop,
no.
If people are listening, we're not picking on barbershop singing. But I
no,
guess,
there's
yeah.
some cool stuff going on.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a nice kind of like driving banjo bluegrass tune, and we get to showcase a lot of the picking skills of the guys. Not to mention the fiddle player, who we didn't mention yet, Julian Pinelli on the
yeah,
album,
thank you.
Who's awesome.
Yeah.
Julian, it's kind of a funny story, actually. Julian is the cousin of Duncan Wickle, who was the fiddle player on the first album.
Well, there you go.
And they're both just like to die for. They're both awesome.
I enjoy it. I enjoyed the. Are there any albums between 14 and now that I missed along the way?
Unfortunately, not.
Okay.
But I'm hoping that the period between this one and the next one will
okay.
be shorter.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's always a lot going on, and I want to keep an eye out for it. The reason that if I miss anything, I'll go back and find it for the audience.
Thank you.
But I'm so glad you sent me. You contacted me and sent me letters, and I've played cuts from it already. Leading up
cool.
to this discussion with you, and we'll play more of it. And I'm going to play now the song you just discussed, one of the songs you wrote from the album Letters, This Life. You gave a nice intro to that. We'll play that. And as we do that, I'll say goodbye to Abby Hollander of the Abby Hollander Band. So much fun to chat with you again, to not see you, but to get to discuss. I don't know if we ever get to see people again, but
someday.
I know we chatted up Gray Fox because I remember. So I'm just glad to chat with you again, and everything's well, and the band sounds great. So congratulations.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me, Steve. Great to talk to you.
Sure. Here we are, This Life, and bye-bye, Abby Hollander.
Bye.